Welcome back to the Panthers podcast. Max Henson, as always, here with Brian Strickland, your dynamic Panthers.com duo. Woo. Today, we're going to be joined by Tiffany Blackman, an NFL Network reporter. She was covering the game out in Detroit, and she'll be here this week to cover Carolina's highly anticipated Thursday night game against the Eagles. But let's go back to that game against the Lions to start, Brian. I know you're excited, as that woo indicated for everybody listening. Another game where Carolina surprised a lot of people coming out with a victory on the road.
Yeah, I think I don't think Cam referenced the pick'ems this time after the game in his press conference, did he?
He did not mention it this week.
He did, of course, against the Patriots and used that as motivation. And I do believe on Panthers.com picking it was a clean sweep, pretty much.
With CBS Sports, was split. They have five guys pick it, and or four guys pick it, and it was 2-2.
So it's like 8-0-1. Like, it sounds like a soccer record or something. Although I guess that can happen in the new NFL with your 10-minute overtime. Okay, I digress. So anyway, yeah. I mean, obviously, I think we sitting here thought it'd be a tough game. We did not pick it. I don't know which way it would have gone. It seemed like a toss-up game to me. You had a pair of 3-1 teams battling, and Detroit's been rolling, been tough at home, and great performance by the Panthers, especially in the middle portion of the game. Obviously, some struggles at the beginning that we'll probably talk about. I know we're going to move on to the Eagles relatively quickly today, and some struggles at the end, but dominant football in the first, the second and third quarters pretty much to take control of the game.
For sure. I mean, and Brian, I mean, let's delve a little bit deeper into that, because as you talked about, you had Carolina starting – well, you know, it was Detroit started the game, took possession of the ball to start it off, and they drove down, kicked a field goal after Eric Ebron dropped a pass in the end zone. Carolina starts with 12 men in the huddle penalty offensively. Not exactly the way you want to start. Of course, they're forced to punt it away. Defensively, early in that game, you saw the just penalties raining down on that Carolina defense. And you talk about, you know, not an ideal way to start on both sides of the ball in a hostile environment on the road against a good team, but the response to that was incredibly impressive.
Yeah, I thought, I think we both tweeted kind of separately, this is getting ridiculous. I think we were referencing the number of penalties, maybe also the fact that a couple of those flags were thrown in the first place, but still it was 7 penalties in 16 minutes, I believe it was. And then I thought Luke Kuechly might get a flag on the sidelines for unsportsmanlike conduct with his teammates, because he, of course, lit into the defensive bunch after all that happened. And as you said, it was a different game. To borrow a stat from your defense story, I believe it was, 29 yards?
The stat that you got for me,
True. So I'm borrowing it. You borrowed it from me.
23 plays run by Detroit after that touchdown drive.
Right.
29 yards gained on those 23 plays. I mean, that is incredible.
Right, and that's a big chunk of the game. That was 7 possessions, I believe, and by the time that stretch ended, it was 27-10 Panthers.
Completely dominant. As you mentioned, it was 27-10 because he had 3 Cam Newton touchdowns. One to Christian McCaffrey on the shovel pass for his first career touchdown, which was obviously great to see. I'm sure a bit of a weight off his shoulders to just get that out of the way. Then you have, of course, had the homecoming kid, Devin Funchess, with an amazing catch in the back of the end zone on a broken play. He said it was the toughest catch he's ever made, and I think it very well might be. And then, of course, you had that beautiful bomb from Cam to Kelvin for the 31-yard touchdown down the sideline. And I think everybody was wondering, okay, when is that deep ball accuracy going to come back? Because that was always what Cam had kind of been known for. It could be one of the best throws of his career. I mean, it completely dropping it in the bucket right in stride for Kelvin. So the offense obviously started doing its thing. But again, just to go back to that defense, you saw the pass rush come alive. Matt Stafford was under constant duress in that game.
Yeah.
Steve Wilks dialing up the blitzes. And finally, you had the first takeaway in what had been 3 weeks. First time Carolina had gone through a 3-week drought since 2006 without a takeaway. And what a great play by Thomas Davis to keep fighting for that loose ball and recover the fumble that was forced by K.K. Short. So really everything started clicking.
Right.
I think that was the best we've seen Carolina playing complementary football offensively and defensively clicking at the same time.
Yeah, I would agree. And, of course, obviously against a good opponent. I mean, you know, similar, I guess, but not as long of a stretch against the Patriots. If you go back to how that second half started in New England, I thought that was almost equally as impressive, especially given Guru Bill Belichick. They're going to make the adjustments at halftime. They have the momentum because of the 58-yard field goal at the end of the half, and the Panthers dominated the third quarter, in that case, on both sides of the ball. So I thought that was comparable. Unfortunately, kind of, sort of, I'm not that wrapped up in it, but unfortunately, also for the second straight week, the fourth quarter was a little scary.
Let's go into some of those concerns that come out of this week, and that's been the biggest one for sure. I mean, people reaching out the past few days now on Twitter, you know, questioning why does that continue to happen? Even referencing back to 2015, when Carolina was winning a whole bunch of games, there were a lot of those close games against guys like Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck that year, where it got dicey at the end after big leads had kind of withered away. I think this is an interesting topic to talk about, Brian, and I guess let me get your thoughts on just what kind of concern level should there be about something like that, where you do have a big lead, you're on the road, and the opposing team's quarterback, who happens to be pretty good in the past 2 weeks, has been Brady and Stafford, starts mounting a bit of a comeback.
Yeah, well, some of those caveats you threw out there, obviously who you were facing played into it. The level of concern, it's not ideal. You won the game. I think that's kind of what it comes down to. It's a big level of concern if it costs the Panthers a game, to be honest. And that's what we're really talking about here, is what can happen going forward, because they did win both of these close calls like that. So what needs to change, if anything? I mean, I like it a little bit to – covered college basketball for a long time. You know, Mike Krzyzewski, you know, when questions that man's coaching acumen, and he'd do this all the time. It's kind of playing the percentages a little bit. Like, if you look back at it, it got a little bit scary, but it's set up where basically, if you look at the whole picture, the way the Panthers played defense, they needed one first down over the last 10 minutes of the game to seal the game.
Yeah.
So that's kind of playing the percentages in some ways. You don't want to be in that position.
It put a lot on that 3rd-and-9, though, didn't it?
Well,
I think everybody watching that game was thinking, if they don't convert this, the Lions are going to win this game. And, of course, we don't know what would have happened if Kelvin Benjamin, if that pass fell as incomplete. But he made the catch, 17 yards, and they iced the game, and they go into the victory formation.
Yeah, but the other side of it we don't know is what if – and the Panthers were relatively aggressive, I thought, on the first touchdown drive, by the way. I heard a lot of chatter, oh, it's the prevent defense again.
Right.
You know, that's
not
what's
the case.
Costing them.
No.
And it was just – you know, the Lions came alive. Their backs were against the wall. Matt Stafford made plays in the fourth quarter. This is not the first time he's done this. He's one of the best comeback quarterbacks in the league. So that's a factor in it. Then I feel like the second touchdown drive, maybe they did try to give, you know, still they're trying to make him work underneath a little bit, but it's not a true prevent defense.
No, that's the thing. A lot of people kept saying that to me, and they weren't playing true prevent defense. They were sending those blitzes like they had, you know, in the previous couple quarters.
Right.
And not that much really changed there. I think – you know, there's a couple of things that play into this, and I think you have a right to be concerned about it. I mean, Ron Rivera came out and said he was disappointed with the way the defense played towards the end, so I'm not saying that, but I think these are worth discussing, these points. One, obviously the Brady and Stafford factor, and the fact that after about three quarters of play, and this was something we talked about just kind of in our office yesterday, NFL quarterbacks are going to start figuring something out. You know, it's very hard, especially guys at that level, to keep them under wraps for as long as, you know, 3.5, 4 quarters. You know, it's just hard to do. Eventually, they're going to find some way to move the ball down the field. Fatigue comes into this. Mm-hmm. You know, you're talking about a defense that's been playing great. As we mentioned, 29 yards given up on 23 plays. Amazing. But, you know, the fatigue factor comes into it, especially when you factor in the fact that in these comeback scenarios, the offense is going to go faster. The tempo is going to increase. So you have that. The mental, physical fatigue comes in for a defense. And, look, they've got to fight through that. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. But that's a challenge. And that's something, obviously, that the Panthers, I think, look themselves in the mirror after this game and got to figure out, okay, how can we be better in that scenario? And I think it's just really tough as defensive coordinator. We talked about the fact that Steve Wilks continued to send those pressures. But you have to find that right balance between not wanting a catastrophic situation where if you were to send pressures and maybe somebody misses a tackle in the secondary, you give up a touchdown in 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And also trying to weigh the fact that, hey, this pressure package has been working for us. Our defense is playing great. We don't want to change what we're doing and allow Detroit, in this case, to kind of get a rhythm going.
Right.
So that balance is a difficult one.
Yeah, it is. And it's delicate balance, I would say. And going back to my play in the percentages point, what if – I mean, not even 10 seconds. What if one of those touchdown drives is half as long? Takes half as long because you're a little bit more aggressive. But, yeah, of course, the big play. I said, as it turns out, the way the game played out, you need one first down on offense to win the game. They score a quick touchdown, it's a completely different situation. They maybe even have an additional possession in there. So it's tricky, but I think, you know, at the end of the day, when you win, you want it's a teaching point, mm-hmm. and it's great to teach after a win. And you know, I hope the team does better about that going forward. But they won the game.
I mean, we talked about this a lot in 2015, and I think people were pretty happy with how things ended up. You know, throughout the course of that season, I think they kind of got over some of those kind of late game dramatics. And of course, we all know that season ended with an NFC championship. So, of course, we've been talking about 2015 quite a bit the past few weeks. Not saying it's the same thing as that team yet by any means, but it is kind of interesting to harken back again to that season with what one of those concerns was.
Yeah.
One other thing I'll say about it too, in the NFL, it's tough to blowing teams out is not easy to do.
You know,
it's not easy to just walk away, coast to a win. It's just the nature of this league. It's difficult.
Yeah.
And these teams are going to make runs. And look, against a really good team like Detroit at their place, not shocked this game ended up being close at the end. Maybe it wouldn't have been as close, and we're going to move to another concern here, had the Panthers been able to run the ball a little bit better.
Right.
And that was one thing, I think, again, that also comes out of this game, that Ron Rivera is as happy as he is to have a 4-1 football team right now. Disappointed with Carolina's struggles running the ball. I mean, on offense, that's been their calling card for really as long as Ron Rivera's been here. They've been a run-first team. But they've really leaned heavily on Cam Newton's arm the past few weeks. What do you make of the situation right now going on up front and with the run game?
Yeah, 28 carries, 28 yards, I think. Is that
right? Not ideal.
Yeah. Now, the 28 carries part still matters, I think. I mean, obviously, you know, they were able to get some things in the pass game because the Lions had to respect the threat of the run. You certainly have talent back there. You know, Cam had unleashed his ability to run the ball again himself against the Patriots. But also, I think, you know, it's kind of like they just put it on the Lions a little bit. And I don't think you'll see that as much this week against the Eagles. They kind of took at times a let's see if Cam can beat us approach, I feel like. Like, again, you got to pick your poison against this offense. And Cam took advantage of that against the Patriots. Was okay, all right, that's one game, say the Lions. You know, let's see if you can do it again. And he did it again. But yeah. Still, Ron Rivera's not going to use those excuses. He's not happy about it. I think this is right. You had six kneel downs or sacks that were negative yards. I mean, those don't really count toward those numbers, but you got that too. Then you had six running plays by the running backs that were negative yardage. Then you had six more that were either 0 or 1 yard. So got to get a little more push than that. And
for sure.
You know, Coach Rivera breaking it down said, no, it's not just an anomaly. He basically said we didn't execute blocks. Seemed to be his main message, that we have the talent to do it. There wasn't enough execution on the blocks. And he gave some credit to the other team and the speed they have up front as far as their front seven is concerned.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really encouraging, obviously, that you can rely on Cam Newton against the Patriots and Lions and his arm, and you can, you know, win a game. I think that has not traditionally been Carolina's formula. And especially coming off shoulder surgery, you didn't think that maybe even this early in the season, he'd be able to do that. But that's exactly what Cam Newton has done, and he's made up for the lack of, you know, a real traditional running game that he's usually had as a big compliment to his passing offense. But Carolina doesn't want to continue down this road like this, obviously. They would like to have more balance in their offense. But on the flip side of that, to see the quarterback do what he's done these past 2 weeks has to make – it just makes everything better, you know, doesn't it? It's even with all these concerns we've talked about, it's, man, you've got Cam Newton looking like MVP Cam Newton again. And I know it's been just 2 weeks, but I think there's reason to be very, very excited if you're a Panthers fan about what you're seeing from your quarterback.
Yeah, 383 total yards. I think that's what that adds up to. You'll take that. It's not the balance you want necessarily. But this team also has a history of running better late in the season. I can't quite explain why that is. I mean, seems like cold weather somehow plays into that. Obviously, the line gelling, and there still are, you know, at least one, I guess two new parts to that line as far as, like, guys actually playing together. So I think it'll take care of itself. And also, again, because defenses now see what Cam is doing, and they cannot sell out against the run as much as they have been.
Surprised at all by Cam's performance, Brian, and considering all that he had gone through the week leading up to it, and there were a lot of people wondering, I mean, what were they going to see from Cam on the football field on Sunday? And he was lights out.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised because of that fact. Certainly the Fox crew was surprised, apparently, because, you know, anytime anything went poorly for Cam, it was because of the distractions of last week. Anytime they went well, it was that he was overcoming the distractions of last week. Yeah. And I think that probably was a little bit overblown as far as how it affected the game itself, but surprised if nothing else because of the Lions secondary, to be honest. I mean, that's a talented group of secondary, and they pretty much torched them, and it was not the receivers running open as like it was the previous week. I mean, like you talked about the pass to Kelvin Benjamin. I mean,
Dixon was running pretty open.
That is a valid point, Max. I have to agree with that.
I will say.
Yeah.
And I do think we ought to give some as much love as Cam deserves for the way he's been playing the past 2 weeks. His receivers and his tight end just came up huge. Ed Dixon had 175 receiving yards on 5 catches. He's the first player in Panthers history to have 2 catches of 50-plus in the same game. Yeah. I told him that after the game. He was like, Smitty never did that?
Right.
You know, like, people were just amazed that had never happened. That is more yards in one game for Ed Dixon than he had had in each of the last 3 seasons.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I mean, this is an amazing performance. And then, and I tweeted this out yesterday, this is the first time we've ever really seen Devin Funchess and Kelvin Benjamin clicking at the same time.
Yeah.
We've just never seen it. In 2015, Benjamin was out with his knee injury. In 2016, Funchess wasn't really that involved. 2017, of course, Greg Olsen is not a factor right now with his foot injury. And you're seeing these two wideouts really kind of come of age.
Yeah.
The maturity, the toughness. We always talk about it with those two. They have to play big. How big did Devin Funchess and Kelvin Benjamin play on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, it is key to see them like that. I mean, I think back to 2015, and in some ways it may be a response to kind of trauma, kind of, you know, being in a tough situation. Because remember when Kelvin went down, it was like, how, you know, look at this receiving crew. There's not much proven here, and everybody had a great year. And now you have Greg Olsen come down and go down, you have other people stepping up. But, yeah, specifically seeing those two guys, it got to the point where you started to wonder, can it work with these two big-bodied, you know, guys on the outside? Is there not enough variety of talent?
There was a lot of doubt there, right? People were wondering, maybe this isn't going to work.
Right, yeah. And I guess it can, right? I think we found out the last 2 weeks it can.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've seen Kelvin do it before. I mean, we've seen flashes from Funchess, but I feel like this is the first time he's had, for sure, this back-to-back games of this quality. And that gives you hope that that's going to be the norm going forward.
Yeah, I mean, you could just see it. I mean, the confidence that Funchess is playing with right now. We just haven't seen that from him, especially, you know, consistently like this in back-to-back weeks. When the Panthers have really, really needed him. And Kelvin, too. I mean, Funchess got a lot of the attention for his homecoming game and going back to Detroit. And he obviously made some big, big catches. But Kelvin, again, on the deep ball. And then, as we talked about, the most important play of the game to come down with that catch on 3rd and 9. He's been playing lights out as well. And with those two playing like that, it's really helped this team overcome the loss of Greg Olsen, which I think a lot of people thought would be crippling to this offense. And it hasn't been. And that's a credit to the guys in that huddle that are out there making plays. All right, well, at this point, I think let's turn it over to our Bose guest line. As I mentioned on the top of the show, we've got Tiffany Blackman from NFL Network joining us. Tiffany, thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Hey, so it's good to have you in Charlotte, of course, as always.
I should get an apartment here.
At this point, you probably should, right? It is your favorite place to come, right? I mean, let's just be honest.
You know, I go a lot of different places, so you can't get me in trouble.
Oh, man. I mean, but you get to see Brian's smiling face on the practice field. I mean, come on, what could be better than that?
You know, you're right. You're right. But I can't get in trouble. I may not be able to walk into any other facility when I cover somebody else, if I say so.
I hear you. All right. Well, look, it's great to have you on because, obviously, you were out there in Detroit covering the Panthers' win over the Lions. You're here in Charlotte getting ready for Panthers hosting the Eagles on Thursday Night Football. Let's go back to Detroit first, and I just want to get from you. I mean, that was a game that a lot of people didn't think the Panthers would win, just like last week at New England. But here they are, now standing 4-1. What impressed you most about that victory over the Lions?
I mean, it seemed like this was a complete performance by them on, you know, obviously on both sides of the ball. Obviously, you have to talk about Cam Newton. And, you know, I go back to a conversation I got to have with Coach, Rivera. And just that's the fact that he'd been trying to tell people that the quarterback didn't have a training camp. And so what we're seeing now is just Cam looking much more comfortable. The strength in the arm obviously is coming back. The timing's starting to come back. You know, and I was looking through our research packet. We have a great research team. And you know, he's improved on passes of more than 10 yards, like, in the air in the last two games. So I think that's a really, really telling sign. Obviously, he had a lot of deep balls. With the touchdown pass to Calvin Benjamin, I'm also finding Ed Dixon, you know, in that game against against the Lions.
Tiffany, we'll probably segue into the Eagles quicker than pretty quick here, because me and Max yammered on way too much already about the Lions game. But I will ask you one thing. One thing we talked about a good amount was the comeback of the Lions. That's the second straight week that has happened to the Panthers. Obviously, you know, they had a 14-point lead against the Patriots that went away, and then this one almost went away. I'm curious, you know, if kind of you have a take. You cover a lot of teams and situations around the league. What do you take away from something like that when that happens, but you still win the game? You know, do you think it's cause for concern? Do you think it's no big deal? I mean, obviously, there are a lot of close games in this league.
You know, I think – I don't want to say it's like no big deal. Obviously, you want to close it out. But I think, again, we're also dealing with, like, Matt Stafford, who is known, you know, for doing that in the fourth quarter, known for pulling off the comeback. But, you know, so I don't want to, you know, obviously say it's not a big deal. But, yeah, I mean, you want to close out games. Obviously, they could have hung on to a much greater lead in that one, kind of let it slip away. But they faced a lot of really good quarterbacks, and Matt Stafford's just another one of them.
Tiff, this matchup we got Thursday between two 4-1 teams, a lot of hype and anticipation, you know, surrounding it because of how well these teams have played of late. How good is this Eagles team? We haven't had a chance to really watch much of them. I'm curious just your thoughts on, you know, what they've got. And with Wentz, it seems like they've certainly got a quarterback that they can build around.
I mean, I think they're really good. Wentz has obviously settled in well. That was his first career game that they're coming off of, where he had three touchdown passes. But their 34 points are season high. I think they're rolling right now and settling in. I think one of the big things for him, for Wentz in particular, has been, you know, on third down this season, he's completed 37 of 52.
Yeah, they're the best team in the NFL on third downs.
But, I'm sorry?
Yeah, they've been the best team in the NFL on third downs.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's huge. So, obviously, Panthers defense-wise has to stay disciplined on that end. But you have the ground game going. You have LeGarrette Blount there, who's been great for them this season so far, the last three games, what he's averaging. I think 14 yards or 6 yards a carry. You know, touchdown the last three games. That seems to be coming along now. And he's been pretty effective for them as well. The receiving game, I mean, you got Torrey Smith there too. And Nelson Agholor, you can't really say enough about that guy. You know, three touchdown receptions so far this season. But they seem to just be rolling. And this is, you know, both coming off obviously a short week, but two offenses at least really that seem to be firing on kind of all cylinders right now.
Tiffany, fair to say this could be a possible playoff preview?
You know what? Everyone's battling to see who can be the best in the NFC. I think the Panthers obviously made a name for themselves in that conversation, especially after beating the Patriots and then going up to Detroit and taking them down as well. But yeah, I mean, you know, we never want to, I guess, say that stuff too early. But I mean, the way these two teams are playing right now, I don't think you're too far off with that.
And is it? I guess this is pretty good for Thursday night football, right? I mean, it's kind of up and down sometimes when you look at these matchups on Thursday nights. You had a pretty good one last week.
Oh yeah, this is a good. I mean, this is one that I think everyone is can maybe almost be in agreement. This is one that you're going to have to get in front of the TV and watch, especially when you have two quarterbacks like this that are both playing. You know, and I mean, Cam's still young. He's been in the league, you know, for quite some time, but still a young guy. These are two young, really exciting players. That I think everyone's going to want to sit down and watch this one for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know we're looking forward to it. Tiffany, thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you out in the practice field, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I'll be there. Thanks for having me. I appreciate
it. All right, sounds good. Thanks again to Tiffany Blackman of NFL Network. She does a great job over there. And look, you know, we just kind of wrapped it up with Tiffany talking about the anticipation about this matchup and a potential playoff preview. I don't know. Maybe it's early, but both these teams, Brian, are playing really, really well. And I haven't had a chance to watch much of the Eagles, but the numbers are pretty darn impressive.
Yeah, I mean, they blew away the Cardinals. As Cardinals teams are struggling for the second consecutive season, but still, you know, took care of them early, dispatched of them. Carson Wentz is rolling, like Tiffany talked about. And as far as, like, you know, being – the best team in the NFC? I mean, it is early, but we love talking about this stuff, right?
Course, yeah.
I mean, throw some power rankings in
there.
Oh,
no,
don't. Get Bill Voth in here, and we can talk about that. But, yeah, just look at the standings. You know, you've got – these are two of the 3-4-1 teams in the NFC right now, along with the Packers. The Falcons are right there at 3-1. You know, they had their bye, obviously. But, yeah, I'm excited. I would be excited as a fan if I wasn't covering this game, you know, because Thursday night, I love watching football. I pretty much always watch some part of Thursday night football, but sometimes it's not easy to watch. But this is one that people should grasp hold of to watch. And how many times in a row have the Panthers and Eagles played on primetime?
The
now,
Panthers and Eagles are only allowed to play on primetime.
Right.
That's like a new rule. You didn't see that?
I didn't know.
They came with
I
that new rule a few years ago. Yeah. If the Panthers and Eagles ever play, it has to be at night.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is, but that's just how it's been. So here we go. And this next one is shaping up to be a great one. For me, this matchup is going to be fascinating between Wentz and his receiving targets and the Carolina secondary. Because going up against Stafford in Detroit, while that's a great challenge, they didn't necessarily have the deep threat to really, really threaten what's going on in Carolina's secondary right now, which is the injury to Kirk Coleman, and they've got Colin Jones and Jairus Byrd, who are kind of splitting some time back there. Darrell Worley was back in action last week, although he was kind of in and out with some injuries, so we'll see about his status. But I think that's going to be a big, big challenge for this defense this week, going up against a guy in Wentz who's been so accurate and been so poised.
Yeah.
And you look at his group of receivers between Aguilar and Smith and Alshon Jeffrey and their tight end Ertz, who's been absolutely on fire. I mean, they have got a lot of weapons, an aerial assault, so to speak. I think it's really going to put some stress on that secondary. We'll see how they can respond.
Yeah, I'd say there's a couple of big names there that people might not have realized yet. They're first-year guys there, that Alshon Jeffrey's there. I mean, obviously that guy had a great run in Chicago before injuries kind of took hold the last couple of years. And Torrey Smith, one of the fastest guys in the league, maybe got forgotten about a little bit because he was in San Francisco there for a little while, where obviously they've struggled the last couple of years. But the other reason you may not have noticed them is because they haven't put up monster numbers so far this year, but that's not a bad thing because it's kind of similar to what's happening with the Panthers right now with the variety of targets.
Yeah, very balanced.
Ron Rivera talking about, you know, targeting eight guys. It seems like he said something like that every week. And that's what's happened with them right now. And, you know, Darren Sproles is out for them. The Panthers probably are kind of relieved about that because that guy's done damage over the years. But they have their new Darren Sproles and Wendell Smallwood, who's stepped up kind of in that role. You got LeGarrette Blount battering away. I mean, it's a varied offense, much like what the Panthers are offering right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the key, as always, for Carolina defensively is going to be, can that pass rush continue to get hot and to get to the quarterback? And they've been rolling lately. Julius Peppers up to 5.5 sacks now. You saw last week against the Lions, as we mentioned earlier in the show, Stafford under constant duress. They're going to need to do that to Carson Wentz to really help out that secondary as well. Flip side, Brian, for Carolina's offense, I get the question after two amazing games now for Cam is, can he make it three?
Right. And, yeah, we'll see. I do think the Eagles will pay a little more attention to that. Not to say, obviously, the last two opponents ignored the pass game at all, but they're going to have to respect that even more in a form where they won't be able to stack the box as much against the run. That could open up other opportunities. That's kind of the whole point here, obviously. That's why you want a balanced offense. Balanced offenses keep defenses off balance, and that's – you know, that's what the Panthers would hope for. We talk about all this, Max. It's probably going to be a 7-3 game, right?
So. Maybe. I mean, you never know with these Thursday night games. Sometimes you do get some kind of crazy outcomes. I'm curious to see, though, how defenses respond to what Carolina's done the past few weeks offensively. I mean, because you mentioned, of course, what Cam has shown with his arm. And it's like, okay, that's back. This guy can beat you with his arm if you let him. Okay, so that's first things first. Everybody seemingly doubted Ed Dixon. Certainly the Lions seem to.
Right.
Just totally lost track of him. Our team's now going to respect 84.
Yeah.
And in turn, so now if you have to respect 84 and you've seen what Kelvin and Devin have done, it's just finally start to open things up for a guy like Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all these kind of these parts. And for the first part of the season, McCaffrey has been the guy who's attracted all the attention. It's been hard for him to shake loose of that, you know.
Right.
And it's opened things up for other people. But now I wonder, if you're a defensive coordinator game planning against this Panthers offense right now, there are legitimate weapons that you have to respect that go beyond McCaffrey and this run game. Kelvin, Devin, And we saw Ed Dixon. I don't think teams want to give up 175 yards to Ed Dixon every week. I don't think so.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how the Eagles plan to defend this offense that, as we said, has been very, very balanced with the different places that they're going with the football. And if they can get that run game going, then just imagine how hard they'll be to stop.
Yeah, and I agree. And I do think it's a factor, too, though, the thing that we joked about will probably be 7-3. There is a tendency for – I mean, it's tough on these guys. You know, Thursday night football is fun for the fans. It's great to get that extra game during the week. It's pretty good for us too, right, Max? So we get a weekend where we can sit around and watch football all day, or, you know, I don't know, not watch football all day.
Which, I mean, but you're physically a little bit sore from the previous game, though, right? I mean, you don't have as many days as you normally get to recover.
That's true.
I mean, so you've got to get, like, I mean, your hand, the writing hand, the recording hand.
So the way I feel right now, imagine how the players feel, right? I mean, my job is tougher than theirs, but theirs is pretty tough too. So it is pretty difficult to play Thursday night. And that can't affect the quality of the game. That's just a reality. But I don't know. This time I think it's going to be different. I think we're in store for a great game.
Well, we know the quality of your writing never changes, Brian. Even on a short week, you can always expect the same grade-A prose that you always.
Because that could have gone either way when you said the quality of my writing never changes. That could have been a negative. So.
Well, come on. We all know. He's as good as it gets. We all know that. Everybody out there does. Thanks for listening in this week. As we said, looking forward to what should be a very, very intriguing matchup on Thursday night. Brian, you got anything to send us out on?
No, I don't have any clips of me at age 11 like I had last week. I'm working on some stuff, though. We'll try to bring out some more gold before the season's over.
And that's the only reason people are listening to this now is to see if they can hear something funny from you from back in the day.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll work on
it. What is this show without that? Well, I guess we'll try to figure that out. We'll be back next week here on the Panthers Podcast. Thanks, everybody.